Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People are amazed and shocked at the Channing Crowder video that has been released.
I need one more chance.
No. Give it up.
Yeah, bro, you're done.
Give it up. These are some of the texts that are coming in. Regarding the video. Channing, what the hell were you thinking?
I've done that before.
Not at 35 years old, and how many knee surgeries have you had?
They're telling me like I'm jumping 13. Across the Grand Canyon. I've done that
you
before.
You might as well try to jump across the Grand Canyon based on that. Another text, that is the most amazing video I've ever seen in my life.
My kids were laughing at me. Now that hits you hard as a father. When your kids laugh at you, you're supposed to be a superhero. They're 6 and 7. I'm supposed to be a superhero still.
Cheers to that epic jump. Damn, Crowder, just a little bit short on that jump attempt, huh? Did anybody notice Crowder got no height whatsoever? I guess his white side was showing.
Hassan?
Channing, ain't no way you're making that jump.
I like it.
The funniest part was watching Crowder limp out of the water.
My knee is swollen right now.
And then the tweets are even funnier. The texts are funny, but the tweets are even funnier. Somebody put a cape on Crowder. They photoshopped a cape on him the moment his two arms went out, as if that was going to help him get some extra distance.
It worked for Superman. Worked for Wonder Woman. It works.
Oh, my God. All right. George Sedano is on the line. I don't want to make him wait, but I texted him the video so that he could watch it. Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. George Sedano used to do the shift, right here on WQAM. He does afternoons on ESPN Los Angeles now. You turn on any NBA game on ESPN, you have a good chance of seeing George prowling the sidelines, too. He is one of the hardest working individuals at ESPN. And here he is. What'd you think of that video, George?
Look, man. You're giving Crowder a lot of grief for a guy who had an athletic feat and high of more than 99.9% of the world.
No doubt.
America.
No doubt. Okay? Which is what made him believe that he could make that jump.
I can't lose it, though, George. I can't lose it. I think it's still in me.
Hey, Channing. Father time is undefeated, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, look, I had this conversation with Charles Barkley not that long ago. We were talking about, like, guys in the NBA and when they start pump faking. And he's like, you know what I mean? That's when you knew I was done, when I had to pump fake 30 times to try to get a damn shot up.
Crowder, you needed to pump fake the pier.
almost jumped.
You used to be, like Charles told me that day, I used to be Charles Barkley, the NBA superstar. Now I'm just Charles Barkley. And that's you, Crowder. You used to be Channing Crowder, NFL player. Now you are Channing Crowder hanging out with Hockman.
Yeah. He got goaded into it by his family. He was in South Carolina with his family, and he's like, oh, you could easily jump that because they want to go fish on that little landmass, and there's a little walkway. And he's like, no, just jump over.
Jump over real quick.
And they're like, Uncle Channing, you can't do that. And blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yes, I can. He measured it out. It was 17 feet. He used to long jump in high school. He's like, no problem. And you saw, I mean, there was zero chance from the moment of liftoff that he was getting there. And he forgot he's a 35-year-old father of two.
Yeah, it happens, man. Look, I stopped playing pickup basketball at LA Fitness like a couple years ago because I would come home, and I'm 41 now. I would come home and I'd be like all beat up. My ankles would be all messed up. My knees would be all messed up. My back would be all messed up. And my wife says to me, why the hell do you do this to yourself? Like, what are you trying to prove? You're playing with 25-year-old kids. What do you expect to happen out there?
Yeah.
Something different.
I think Crowder learned a lesson. I think he learned a lesson.
That was a tough lesson. That was enlightening to me.
All right. Sedano, let's talk a little NBA here, because George Sedano, he's got that pulse of the NBA. First of all, before I talk Heat, what do you think about this as a flyer, a little gambling flyer, betting $100 that the Lakers win the West? Because it's plus 2,000. So $100 will win you 2,000. Because I know people are debating whether they're going to get into the playoffs or not. I'm saying I bet them to actually win the West. Because when they get in the playoffs, LeBron turns on the afterburners, much like Crowder did off the pier.
It's not a crazy bet. I do think that if they can get to the seventh seed, which is still plausible, I think they can get to at least the conference finals. And then all of a sudden, you're one injury away from maybe it happening. So, I mean, for $100, if you've got nothing else to burn it on, then might as well. What the hell?
I think that's a decent bet at plus 2,000. I think they make the play. Do you think they make the playoffs?
I do. If you look at LeBron, his last two seasons, because I single out the last two seasons because they've had kind of some turmoil at the trade deadline one way or the other, and he becomes a different player. David Griffin, the Cavs' former general manager, was on my show recently, and we talked about it. He just gets a different focus in that second half post All-Star break. If you look at his numbers specifically, points per game go up about 3 points per game, rebounds go up, assists go up, usage rate goes up. He knows what time it is. Now, he's never had to drag somebody actually into the playoffs in this scenario. Like, usually he's playing for seeding at this point. But, it's still LeBron James. So barring him being injured again, I think that they can make the playoffs. And I think they could potentially get to the seventh spot.
And, George, the Lakers are fine because a couple weeks ago, the whole Anthony Davis thing, and then after he pretty much was willing to trade the entire roster, we saw the game where he set 9 seats down from his teammates and all that, and they end up getting beat by 40 with some terrible team. They got the hell beat out of them. But then they come back and start playing. Like, when that happens, when LeBron GM comes out from being LeBron player, it's overlooked in a couple days. Like, there's no residual effects to that?
Oh, no, I think there's residual effects to it, but that's why Magic Johnson flew out to Philadelphia, which, by the way, they got crushed there. And he tried to kind of smooth things over and explain to them it's a business. Now, these guys have said the right things in front of the cameras, these young guys, but they're getting a hard lesson, man. And that's LeBron. That's LeBron, you know, that's just the way he conducts himself. I mean, he walked away from Dwayne Wade. I heard you guys play the Pat Riley cut before I came on. He walked away from arguably his best friend in basketball when he still had a little left in the tank because he wanted to basically trade up for a younger version of him. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference between LeBron, the way he treats you when it comes to social situations or even being his friend, and there's a difference between LeBron, the businessman, and these young guys on the Lakers just learned that the hard way.
George Sedano is with us, ESPN Los Angeles, former host of This Shift right here. What about the Heat? Will the Heat make the playoffs? They're the 9 seed right now, but it's not an easy road.
I'm super conflicted as to whether they should make the playoffs because, yes, part of me would like to see Wade and Spo one more time in the first round and just kind of see what they can pull off. And, look, I don't think they're beating anybody if they get in at the 8 or the 7 spot. But I'd like to see how far they can push things. But the other part of me says, for the betterment of the franchise, they'd be better off in the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that this franchise is bereft of talent. And they've got some nice players in Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson. Those are good fourth and fifth players on a championship-level team. They're not the top three guys on a championship-level team. And they don't have any of those guys anymore. You could have made the case maybe for Dragic a couple of years ago, and obviously even Wade back in 2016. But I don't even know if you can make the case for Dragic even at this point, even if he comes back 100% healthy.
If the Heat don't make the playoffs, how would you characterize this season?
It would be a disappointment in the sense that you expect that a team with Eric Spoelstra on it to be able to make it into the playoffs. And I'm not putting this on Eric. I'm putting it on the roster construction. But even he, as much of a magician as he is, and as much as he's kind of saved Pat here the last couple of years, at some point he's going to run out of magic. And this group, man, like, they're just not that good. They've got a number of guys on there whose contracts, we've talked about this a million times, aren't worth very much on the open market. At best, what they're getting them is another bad contract. Look, Ryan Anderson, the perfect example. You save like $3 or $4 million, basically, on Tyler Johnson. But that's the deal, the best deal that you could get for Tyler Johnson. And there's a number of these Tyler Johnson-type contracts on this particular roster. So I guess it would be disappointing because you would like to have seen them compete in Wade last season. But it'll be remembered for Wade last season no matter what. I think that'll be kind of the overriding factor.
I know he's the godfather, Pat Riley, but could this team look better if Riley wasn't involved? Because you talk about those terrible contracts, the James Johnson, the Tyler Johnson, just all the stuff that he did in the past 4 or 5 years. Could this team have been hurt by having Pat Riley a part of it?
I don't know if I characterize it as hurt. I certainly think he got swept up in the emotion of his own mythology, right? Because if you look at it, Dion Waiters, a former top five lottery pick, and they got duped. Let's be real here. They thought, oh, we can turn this around. We've got a history of turning guys into something who everyone discarded. It's really been one of the biggest strengths of Pat Riley's career. For all the stuff that people talk about in landing the whales and whatnot, which he's done that, but to me, right there with him is developing these guys that were discarded, right? Udonis Haslam, go back to Isaac Austin, even John Starks in the Knicks days, Anthony Mason. Like, over the years, there's always been a reclamation project with the Heat. The problem is he took on too many reclamation projects at the same time. Like, you can't do that. It's like you're building a house. You can't, you know, unless you got a bleep ton of money, you're not rebuilding the whole house. You're doing it in parts, right? And that's the problem. They tried to redo the whole house, and they only have a limited amount of funds to work with. So that becomes kind of the issue that they were dealing with. So maybe to some extent, yeah, they believe that their culture can make anything work. And in this particular case, that clearly wasn't the case. And maybe someone like Eric, had he been running the organization, might have seen things a little more clearly. Perhaps. I don't know.
Quickly, George Sedano is with us. We had a difference of opinion when the Heat announced that they were going to retire Chris Bosh's jersey. Crowder thinks that's ridiculous, and I thought it was due and warranted. And then as the texters were lining up against Crowder, you know, what are you talking about? He absolutely deserves that honor. We re-brought it up. This is a week ago or whatever. Re-brought it up, you know, later on in the show. And the tide shifted a little bit. And then we had Bill Ryder on from CBS Sports Radio. And he agreed with Crowder. He's like, no chance does that guy's jersey belong in the rafters. And I was shocked by that. Where do you stand on that?
I love Bill Ryder, but Bill Ryder's a little bit of a contrarian, okay? Like, and you know, like, that's just his nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you, like, why would you, like, say he's not? Like, I don't understand. Like, when you think about the greatest moments in Heat history, he was as big a part of it as anything.
Well,
like,
moments or one rebound?
No, come on, Crowder. He had crazy big moments in those couple of years, man. Like, if there was a game in Boston where he came back, people forget, he was supposed to be done for the entire playoffs that year they won the championship. He tore his oblique or whatever the hell and came back in that Boston series. And in the last couple of games, I think the clincher game, hit a bunch of threes with Kevin Garnett totally, you know, all up on him. Like, he had crazy moments that blocked against San Antonio, against Danny Granger in a game that won them a finals game. He had, even in the game 4 in San Antonio, the year that they won, him, Wade, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh all went for like 30 points in that game. Like, no way, dude. He had monster games in some of the biggest moments. And it wasn't always just putting up points and rebounds and blocks. He was their best pick-and-roll defender. It wasn't LeBron James. It was Chris Bosh who destroyed the other team's pick-and-roll, which, by the way, that's pretty much what everybody ran at that particular time, particularly the Bulls. The teams that were going up against, the Celtics even to some extent at that time, and obviously the Spurs. So, yeah, like, he played a monster role. So if you think he doesn't deserve it, like, I'd like to see why you don't think that and who else Then they're not going to retire Udonis Haslem, right, if that's the case.
No, George, I don't think you need. I think his longevity might get him up there because he's beloved. But, like, how you have to do that with Bosch? Like, you don't say he's a great defender because he's never been on an all-defensive team. You say he plays the pick and roll well.
Oh,
like,
but come on,
you have
Crowder.
To really. But, George, you have to really dig into game six against the Celtics. One rebound here. When you look up on those rafters, if I see who's up there now, Jordan.
Tim Hardaway.
Tim Wade's going to be there.
Shaq is up there.
Shaq's going to be there.
Alonzo Mourning's up there.
LeBron's going to make it. I don't think Bosh sits in that group with those names that are up on – they're going to be in those rafters.
First of all, Chris Bosh is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, not even up for debate, okay? And it's not even me who would say that. It's anyone who covered the league would say
Bill
that.
Ryder. And, Bill Ryder took issue with that as well.
Okay, well, clearly, of course, Bill Ryder did.
And it's hard to take Crowder's athletic take seriously after watching the peer jumping video. Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you go to basketballreference.com, and they do a really good job of figuring this stuff out, like they will tell you what percentage a guy has to make it to the Hall of Fame. Chris Bosh is like 99%, okay? So whether it's Channing Crowder or Bill Ryder, you're just wrong, right? Like you're just wrong about this thing. You're doing the thing that everybody was doing to him when he was playing with the Heat. It's not the big three. It's the big two and a half. It's that nonsense. You're playing into that Skip Bayless character crap that everyone else was falling in those 4 years.
All his numbers are lower. Even LeBron and Wade, LeBron and Wade did press conferences together.
Crowder.
They left the third wheel out. He's not there.
Crowder, he doesn't get the touches that the other two get because the other two guys are prolific wing scorers. Big men in any offense with LeBron James aren't going to put up those kind of numbers. It doesn't mean that they're not worthy because of their contribution. There's more to basketball than just putting the ball in the hoop.
Somebody texts in, love when you bring Sedano on, but out of curiosity, how come you don't use the ISDN since he's got a radio show? Why don't we do that?
Because I'm not at the studio?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There's your explanation. Well, next time, let's do it while you're at the studio.
Okay. We can make that happen.
That's cool. That's a great idea by the texter. You know I love an ISDN.
I know you do. Crowder, next time, look, here's the deal. If you can make that jump that you screwed up in that video, I will come to your side on Chris Bosh not being a Hall of Famer.
All right, so it is settled. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
So that's it.
That is it, my brother. See you, Sedano.
See you, guys.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. We'll take a quick break. You can fire up your angry tanks at old oblique torn Crowder. And we'll come right back. Radio.com. I am in love with your music choices today.
Thank you. This one's for Crowder.
I mean, you have jump. Yeah, excellent. Excellent. We have had so much fun watching this video. Somebody texts in, by the way, and then I got this on my Instagram page as well. When I posted the video, somebody responded to me with, hey, I can't hear you guys on 96.5 HD2. Somebody just texted in, did you guys change HD channels? The 96.5 Power 96 antenna or tower or whatever, transmitter. Under maintenance this entire week. So our HD signal is available on 99.9 HD2. So if you prefer to listen to us in HD rather than 560 AM, you could do so at 99.9 HD2. I'm telling you, first, just on the, if you check out the 560 Instagram page, it's 560 WQAM on Instagram. I was looking at, some of the comments that have been posted. They are so funny. It's Crowder. The first comment is, womp womp. Were they videotaping in slow motion? Somebody writes. There goes any chance for a comeback. Missed it by that much. Should have asked Scotty for full power. If the AAF scouts are watching this video, no chance on you joining that league. You should have gotten a running start from the woods. Looks like he still has that speed.
I'm a hater.
This man picked off Tom Brady? Damn, Crowder, you still in your 30s? Wait till you get to 50. They're going to have to roll you off the ramp.
Hey, man, these knees aren't what they used to be.
Crowder's knee just aged 3 more years after that jump. Somebody writes on Instagram. Funny, man. And the tweets are hysterical. So Crowder was telling us during the commercial break, they were casting that to the TV at the house he was staying at from their phones. Because who was it that videotaped it on their phone?
It was my niece and my wife got it.
Oh, my God.
And then my brother-in-law was there. And then my kids were there. My niece and nephews were there. So it was about 12 of us at the house. So we went back to the house. And some people left, got their nails done, you know, different stuff. It was movie time when we got home. They plugged it in every day, just passing the phones around, watching on the big screen, falling in the ground laughing.
Inviting neighbors over.
Yeah, oh, my homeboy lives right down the road, bro. You mind if he comes over? I was like, man, whatever you want to do. I'm icing my knee, crying.
Somebody texting, Crowder looked like a misfired angry bird.
Y'all are haters, man.
Somebody suggests that we put it to I Believe I Can Fly, but too soon. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
You can't have fun with R. Kelly anymore.
No,
so
we'll leave him out.
Maybe see if there's a remake.
Who sings Fly Like an Eagle?
Steve Miller Band
maybe.
Or Seal remade it.
I got some Seal coming out.
There
up.
You go. Fly Like an Eagle. Well, he gave it a shot. Somebody texts in, LMAO, I can't stop watching this video. Falero and I couldn't stop watching it during the break.
You, yeah,
find,
it, yeah.
You find something new every time. It's like watching The Departed.
You gotta appreciate the swag, though.
Oh, man.
Y'all gotta appreciate the swag.
What swag?
There is none.
The swag.
I appreciate the fact that you had
Line
enough swag to think that you could do it, but he had old guy working too hard for not enough physical activity face. So he's running down the pier and you're getting the like, you know, the front on view of him. He's gritting his teeth like he's in the 90th yard of a kickoff return, but he's on the third foot of running on a pier.
Yeah, and you don't have swag when you're soaking wet. When the whole objective is not to get wet.
Pre-jump, the swag was through
pre-jump,
the roof.
Pre-jump, you had it. You had everyone believe
it. Your face
it.
Had then, the swag, yeah.
Then my niece and nephews, they grew up around me and all, so they have me on this pedestal of athleticism. They were my nephew.
I did too.
My nephew pulled me to the side.
I did too.
It's like, Uncle Channing, like you were picking your knees real high and you didn't have to. He was trying to critique my running.
You couldn't run anymore. You didn't know how to run.
Why'd you pick your knees up so high and not moving fast? Man, get out of here.
Somebody texts in, I think this describes it perfectly. Died in flight.
I think it was lunch. That was extra 3 pounds. Heavy lunch too. Ribs. Mac and cheese, heavy lunch.
Someone wants to know if you went to the Beacon Drive-In while you were in Spartanburg.
No.
That was a whole argument before the show. An
Hell
entire
no.
argument. Why wouldn't you go there if I told you to go there? I said, go to the Beacon Drive-In. It was featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. The Hockman family stopped by. You were right down the street from it.
10 minutes from it. Everybody in my family, everyone at the bait shop, everybody at the gas station, anywhere I went to get anything, I'd ask them, and they said, it's nasty as hell. That's what everybody told me. It's greasy, it's nasty, it's a cafeteria line, you walk through a tray,
yeah,
and they plop crap onto you. I was like, I don't want to go to a cafeteria. That's why I became successful, so
you
I never
why?
Have to go to a cafeteria again.
They ain't got no game.
That's my thing.
I notice that you say that a lot when someone disagrees with you.
No,
so they ain't got no game.
That's copyrighted. That's my thing. You ain't got no game.
They ain't got no game. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, somebody says the Pointer Sisters, they've got a song named Jump. That's a good one there.
I did notice up there in the country. Is that like they don't have to say all natural and non-GMO and like everything is from a farm.
Right. Everything is just like.
It was just always surprising me when
there.
I. Yeah. It's like, hey, I got this down the street. My buddy brings the ribs in every Tuesday. Like, you don't have to have all these all natural organic signs. Just like, yeah, from the farm.
Look at this Photoshop.
You think you tough. Jumping over the lake.
It's Officer Coffee staring at Crowder.
You hit that water. I like that.
You think you tough.
I am retweeting that. It's Officer Coffee on the bridge.
You think you tough.
Crowder's wearing a t-shirt that says like a boss. He is seconds away from landing 10 feet short of where he wanted to land. His shorts are hanging halfway off his ass.
Some Nike shocks, though. Those got
somebody texted in, "You ruined those shoes. Can I have them?" Oh, I know, man. Those shoes were all mucked up, yeah. Right?
Gave them to my nephew.
Oh, my goodness. Officer Coffee was on the bridge trying to warn you.
You think you tough.
That's ridiculous.
All right, let's regain our composure. We still have a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. Radio.com. Radio.com. Gonna fly like an eagle. If the eagle had one bad wing.
Fly like an ostrich.
Y'all funny today, huh?
Ostriches don't fly.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Y'all funny today.
You know what's interesting to me? I keep hearing this all over sports TV in the morning and whatnot, this Antonio Brown stuff that was blowing up. He did that Instagram Live, and he was saying, you know, whoever's got money. I don't know if you saw later today, he met with the owner of the Steelers. Who is it, the Rooney family still?
Yeah, Rooney, was it?
And, you know, it's like he tweeted out a nice picture and said, "We've both agreed it's time to move on, and I thank the Steelers for whatever." But they've been killing them, you know, on all these talk shows about your reducing your value. You're making people question what kind of guy you're going to be in the locker room and on the team, because you just don't seem to be, I don't know, in control. Like, we see how he was in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
And you see all the issues. And so by taking to Instagram Live, but anyway, I was thinking this because I keep hearing this over and over on Twitter and whatnot. Bill Belichick, New England. He's got to go to New England. That's the place that can get the most out of him and keep him in control and watch. They'll turn him into the greatest company man, blah, blah, blah. And I started thinking to myself, would Brian Flores insert himself into that then? If he fancies himself Bill Belichick, which I think he does a little bit, right? He has absorbed that system for 15 years. His personality, you met with him, his personality is
Belichickian.
Belichickian. And I wonder if that would be a test case. Now, I don't know what the Dolphins' plans are, so I don't know if maybe the best receiver in the league is in their plans.
He's the best receiver in the NFL.
So is the best receiver in the NFL. Now, I said last week, and I maintain this, plans could change.
Yes.
He may not have been in their plans, and Kyler Murray may not have been in their plans, and Nick Foles might not be in their plans, but who knows? Like, plans can change, and as people become available, and all of a sudden you start to go, well, you know what? If I could get a quarterback, and we could get the best receiver in the league, and we feel like we have a decent running back core, and I don't know, maybe we do have something here. Plans could change. Is there something to maybe Brian Flores saying, oh, yeah, I run Patriots South here. Like, we could take Antonio Brown here, because whatever you think Bill Belichick could do with him up there, I could do the same thing down here.
Josh Gordon is a way bigger threat, or, you know,
Head case
than Antonio Brown, and he's not half the player. Josh Gordon's a good receiver now.
Mm-hmm.
They took a chance on Randy Moss after Randy Moss. That's after he went to Oakland, and y'all remember, he wasn't even running routes in Oakland. He was standing on the line of scrimmage if it was a run. Randy hung up team unity and morale and all. If you're not throwing me the ball, I'm not going to do anything. He goes to New England and goes in, and I was Brady's in year. What was that, 50 touchdowns, and then Peyton ended up breaking it. I didn't even think about this. I hope Brian Flores takes that on taking chances on guys. But you have to be an established coach. You have to be a respected coach, and you have to have your entire organization, and to be honest, your fan base on your side when you do that.
But it would be a way to say, look, I'm here. I'm different than what you've had down here. Because Adam Gase would go running from that guy. Now, I don't know, you know, again, the Jets could be in contention, to be quite honest. But I don't think that's kind of Adam Gase's kind of guy. This could be where Brian Flores says, the way everyone says, oh, that's a Bill Belichick issue. Like, that could be handled by Bill Belichick. Brian Flores is probably thinking to himself, And me.
Yes.
And me.
And people, and one text came, and I'm sure they're going to bring in the free agents, the big money. Antonio Brown's going to be want to be the highest paid
Huge.
Player. And take that out, because I'm with that. I don't know if the Dolphins are a team that adds a $15 to $20 million
Correct.
Guy.
If they don't think they're close, there's no point.
But I think your point is the thing about taking that risk or, you know, dealing with personalities.
Right.
Where don't be scared of, oh, he did that with the Steelers. Isn't he catching 15 touchdowns a year? Well, let's take those 15 touchdowns and deal with the personality on the side. Push it to the side. You know what? I hope, I pray to everything of my soul that Brian Flores is the guy that says, Kareem Hunt. The thing that just, Kareem Hunt went to the Browns, 1 year puppy deal. He's an all-pro back. They got him for $1 million a year. If Brian Flores, as he gets his coaching, you know, feet under him, if he can be the guy to say, you know what? This guy had a past. He has a bad reputation. He's a locker room cancer, whatever you want to call it. Give him to me. I will make him perform on the field, and I'll keep it sane. In the you think Randy Moss and Josh Gordon, you think those guys were model citizens?
Well,
you think
and Josh Gordon didn't even make it with them. Like he got I don't know if it was them or the league that
or do the Patriots do they control their locker room better?
Well, here's the thing. I believe what happens around the league when a Randy Moss becomes available, right? And he's unbelievably talented, and you'd love to have him as a receiver on your team, except for the baggage that comes with it. I think in most team offices, the same meeting takes place. Yeah, we don't need those kind of headaches. We don't need those kind of headaches. And I think there are very few front offices and coaches that say, yeah, we can absorb it. We can absorb it. We know how to deal with it, and we'll take that on. And that's why they end up with the Randy Mosses and the Josh Gordons and anyone else that you deem a problem elsewhere. And I wonder if the Dolphins become that type of organization, which is not, you know, oh, give us any head case. That's how I'm talking about elite players that have run their course wherever they are. Antonio Brown, like, you know, he's an elite receiver. He's going to get paid. And I agree with you. I don't know if the Dolphins are in contention only because I don't know if they feel like they're close enough. It's wasted money to have an angry Antonio Brown. Like, if you're really planning on going into the season with Luke Falk as your quarterback, you can't do that to him, and you can't do it to Antonio Brown.
When the story was he just didn't play in a game, didn't come to practice.
It was the final game of the season.
Do you think if Luke Falk and them are scoring 8 points a game through 3 or 4 weeks, he's going to be gung-ho to come to Davey
right.
and let's work?
Right.
He's going to get upset. He had Big Ben.
And even had a problem with Big Ben, yeah.
And that's a top five organization. The Rooneys have been a part of it for a long time. What is it, 3 head coaches in 30-something years? Like, they are well-run. They are a machine. And he had a problem there. So to the point of is the Dolphin – I'll say this. I don't think right now they're not ready for that.
Right. But what if – and again, this is just a hypothetical, but what if Brian Flores says, you know what? We think we've got to take her, or Chris Greer says, we think we've got to take her to trade up. We can get Kyler Murray. We can get AB, because Kyler Murray will be on a rookie contract. We can get Antonio Brown, because we're going to cut a couple of guys and we've got some money to spend. Like, do you then have the conversation? Like, hey, maybe we are a quarterback and the most elite receiver in the NFL away. We don't have to do this plan, Stephen Ross, where we're going to be awful, awful, awful and rebuild. Like, maybe we are. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Or maybe it's Nick Foles. Like, hey, we're going to get Nick Foles. We're going to get Antonio Brown. We're also going to draft a quarterback. But we're going to be in the mix. I don't know.
But that's $40 million in the two guys.
Understood. I mean, you'd have to make it work. You're gonna cut Tannehill. That's gonna save you some salary cap money.
Like 18 or something.
You're gonna cut maybe.
So that's what you swing the money. You get your $20 million quarterback. You give him.
I mean, you could
money,
do it,
and then you bring in AB for another 20. Then you still don't have 3-4 linebackers. You still need defensive tackles. You need 2 cornerbacks.
Somebody tweeted at me when we were talking about Antonio Brown. Can he play guard and center as well?
We have no interior linemen, but. I believe, and this is the thing, I don't believe Chris Forrester, Blogazi, as we started calling it, the offensive line coach. Yeah.
Knock on wood.
That's what you got to do, knock on wood.
I don't know.
I don't think that happens with New England.
I mean, we might as well just say trick or treat. It makes as much sense as knock on wood. But
with the incognito Jonathan Martin, that doesn't happen in New England. all of my heart, I believe that because of how that organization's run.
Right.
Brian Flores, if he could bring, and that's why I said I don't think they're ready now, but if he can really bring that structure, bringing in guys he trusts, bringing in Jim Caldwell, bringing in Reggie McKenzie from the guy that just left the Raiders, the assistant GM, whatever his role is going to be, bringing in guys like that, if they can structure the organization to make it the Patriot organization, that's what Brian Flores could do to win a year or two down the road. We might be able to bring in a guy like that, and he understands, just like Josh Gordon, just like Randy Moss, he continued to play afterwards. They said, hey, we used you up.
We got what we needed.
And we're getting rid of you. You know, good luck. Bring in the guys like that, but have the structure around them to bring in a troubled off-the-field guy that can help you on the field. We bring in troubled guys that aren't good. So the guys that has drug problems and he can't even play,
right.
You bring me a guy that want to smoke some weed, give me 22 sacks.
We had a guy, allegedly, who was in charge of the offensive line that was snorting coke and then sending the video to hookers. And he was in charge, shockingly, of one of the worst offensive lines you've ever seen.
What?
So you brought in a guy to coach a team. That's just from the coaching end. That's just on the, forget about the personnel on the field. That's just the coaching end.
If Brian Flores could bring that, that would be perfect. That would be the perfect situation. You hate Belichick. If Belichick gets traded and becomes a Miami Dolphins head coach, you'd love him. If Brian Flores can get anything set up, and we don't say he has to be Belichick, but structure this team, structure this organization like Belichick has structured it for 20 years, we got action, boss.
Did you see Pro Football Focus? Did you see that graphic that they tweeted earlier today, Falero?
About the AFC East quarterbacks?
Yeah, 2018's highest graded quarterbacks in the AFC East. Pro Football Focus, they do their research.
Dolphin made the list.
Two Dolphins made the list.
Yeah.
Two Dolphins made the list. Number one overall rated quarterback in the AFC East, obviously, Tom Brady. Number two, Josh Allen.
No.
Number three, Sam Darnold.
What?
Number four, Brock Osweiler. And number five, Ryan Tannehill. That is the funniest damn top five list I've ever seen in my life. According to Pro Football Focus, and they look at every single play. I don't know what the criteria was on this, and I don't know how it worked out, but their top five quarterback overall grade for the AFC East, Tom Brady, they gave a 90.7. Now, again, I don't know what the criteria is. Josh Allen, 65.3. Sam Darnold, 64.7. Brock Osweiler, 52.7. And Ryan Tannehill, 45.3. That's funny.
Josh Allen, is it say quarterback or athlete after his name?
It's why? Because it's all running?
It's all, he's 52%. Like, Hawk, there's a good chance you can get to 50% in the league.
All I'm telling you is, if you look at whatever they were looking at, Josh Allen was the second best quarterback, and running, scrambling, that's a part of the game in the NFL. I know you're speaking as a linebacker. You don't like it.
No.
But he was number two, Sam Darnold three, Brock Osweiler four, and Ryan Tannehill five.
Oh, it's good.
Good and terrible.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, guy could run. All right,
Sam Darnold's the one that I'm with.
I don't know what the Dolphins are going to do at quarterback. I'm really interested. I know you've been watching Kyler Murray a lot. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to last to 13, and I don't know if the Dolphins plan on trading up in this draft. There is some huge question marks. We got to take a quick break because we're trying to jam in so much here. We didn't know that we were going to stumble upon the Channing Crowder video today, and so I'm working from behind here, but it has been worth it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.